RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We didn't do anything against Miles that we don't normally do against Miles. The sack record's irrelevant. We got to minimize him if we want to engineer victory. We did the same thing last time we played him. I didn't think he had any sacks in that game either. And so we didn't take a different approach because of the gravity of the record. It's just standard business when you playing these guys and him.
You played the Browns, and how much is it finding that balance of trying to limit Garrett, but at the same time still getting it going? Yeah.
We had the similar game plan as the first time. We just executed better in the first game.
And honestly, I kind of believe them. And something that Arthur Motes said, Austin Bechtel with you in for the guys here on Pomp and Joe, Logan Arblaster producing behind the glass, is Arthur Motes was on with Pomp in the postgame show on KDK TV. And, you know, Arthur played obviously for a long time. He played for Mike Tomlin. And what he said was a lot of this talk about the record and stuff like that, it's built up more in the media than it actually is in the locker room. And I thought, look, we know that the Steelers don't like Myles Garrett. The thought of Myles Garrett swinging a helmet at Mason Rudolph will never leave my mind. Like, I cannot bring myself to root for Myles Garrett or, like, celebrate Myles Garrett breaking that record, which he probably still will against Joe Burrow, but he has gone 2 games and only had half a sack. And he did have a stretch earlier this year where he played 3 consecutive games and did not have a sack. The big reason why he's at this number now is because, A, he's very good, but 2, he had a 5-sack game against New England, a game they lost by 19, by the way, and he also had a 4-sack game and has had multiple 2- or 3-sack games. But I really don't think that what they did offensively was all systematically in an effort to prevent Myles Garrett from breaking the record against them. Now, I am also on record saying that if Myles Garrett got anywhere near Aaron Rodgers to the point where he was going to record a sack, I would rather Dylan Cook or whoever was the offensive lineman going up against Garrett hold him and prevent him from sacking Rodgers for a couple of different reasons. A, you don't want your 42-year-old quarterback taking big hits. B, I would rather take the penalty then take a 7 or 8 yard loss on a sack and make 2nd down and 10 become 3rd and 17. I would rather just take the penalty and make it 2nd and 20 compared to 3rd and 17. You have 2 more downs to try to pick it up. So when I had that thought, it wasn't from a, oh, well, screw Myles Garrett, don't give him the record perspective. The Steelers were trying to slow down Myles Garrett because it's better to win a game by slowing down Myles Garrett than allowing that guy to feast. So I feel like some of the arguments and some of the thoughts that people are saying about the impact that Myles Garrett had are a little bit misguided. But it did affect the Steelers in a way, not as large as I think a lot of people are making it out to be. But Garrett did have an impact on this game. But it was also the Steelers' ineffectiveness to stick with the run. Where was Jaylen Warren? Where was Kenneth Gainwell? What is the identity of the Steelers' offense? Well, what we thought it was coming into this one was we're going to play smash-mouth football. We're going to run it right by you. Gainwell, Warren, 1-2 punch. The thunder and lightning that you thought you were getting with Najee and Jaylen Warren, where Najee just ultimately wasn't that good the last couple of years. This is a better backfield than it was a year ago or 2 years ago. Jaylen Warren had 12 carries for 64 yards. Pretty good. You might want to hand it to him more. Kenneth Gainwell, 7 carries for 26 yards. And altogether, they rarely touch the football. 131 yards on 24 carries is what the Steelers rushed for. They averaged about 5.5 yards per carry. And they abandoned the run. They abandoned the middle of the field. And they consistently went back to older, inexperienced in terms of this offense players, guys that have not been on the field this year. The dependable options were MVS, the practice squad guy for a couple of weeks before he was elevated, and Scotty Miller, who couldn't get on the field over Roman Wilson for most of the season. Scotty Miller, who couldn't get onto the field over Adam Thielen, had 3 catches in the game. Jonnu Smith, who you gave a $10 million extension to next year, 5 catches for 18 yards. There have been times where Aaron Rodgers has shown so many moments of bringing this offense back to life, more looking like a modern-day offense, back from the dead, because Tomlin and his philosophy of don't turn the ball over, don't throw it over the middle of the field. They forced 2 turnovers. Shedeur Sanders was legitimately awful. He finished with 186 yards. 140 of those were in the first half. A gimme interception for Kyle Duggar, where he could have called for a fair catch and taken that ball out of the air. A walk-in pick 6 for Nick Herbig. What should have been a walk-in pick 6 for Jack Sawyer, but he took a bad route. And the most damning stat of them all that I saw from a man named Doug Clawson, nice stat here from Doug of CBS Sports. Doug says the Steelers are winless, 0-4-1, in their past 5 games versus teams entering 8-plus games below 500, tying the longest such streak in NFL history. You would think that this would happen by a team that sucks. I don't know, like Arizona or the Raiders or something like that, where they're just losing to other bad and crummy teams. No, not a team that, if you won, you would have won your division. 2020 to the 2-10-1, I should say. Don't forget about the tie, Bengals. Don't forget about when they tied the 0-8 Lions in 2021, when Freiermuth and Deontay fumbled in overtime and Ben couldn't play because of COVID and Mason Rudolph had to step in. How could anybody forget about the 2-10 Cardinals game in 2023? Oh, wait, back-to-back, when I was at the 2-10 New England game, when they lost that game, and I think it was a Thursday night, and now the 3-12 Cleveland Browns. They're 1-6-1 in their last 8 games in Cleveland. They lost their offensive identity. They're injured. They're beaten up. The vibes are down. There's not much momentum, and it could be a toxic atmosphere at the stadium. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Here's our guy, Tony in Butler. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm okay.
So I just want to real quick say that, look, I'm not a hater. I always want the Steelers to win. But really what they should have done this year was start like Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen?
For some, yes.
Why Kyle Allen, Tony?
Because, listen, I really think they probably wouldn't have done that well, and we would have got Will Howard on the field, which you put out a draft pick for him, and it's the end of the year, and you still don't know what you have in him. So now you're going to draft another quarterback, I'm assuming, next year or this year in the draft, when you don't even know what you got there. I just think if everybody could accept – it's the true definition of insanity, Austin. We fixed this 1 year at a time. My prediction this year was they were going to go 8-9. They're going to go 9-8. They're going to pick around 20th. And the goal to everybody here is to win a playoff game. Austin, what does winning a playoff, one playoff game do for this organization?
Yeah, it does something that they haven't done in the last 8 years, but who cares? Like, the last 8 years, in my mind, are basically meaningless. Outside of small things, like T.J. Watt is the all-time leader in sacks in Steelers history. That's great, but that's an individual thing. That's not a team thing. And what matters more is what you're doing with the team, how the team performs. Right. Like, I don't care about some of those smaller things and those individual accolades, defensive player of the year, stuff like that. Where
no, I hear you, because like if you remember at the beginning of last year, there was a press conference when a reporter asked Rooney what the goal was. Mr. Rooney said the goal was to win a playoff game. I want to build this team for the future. I'm not just worried about next year. I'm worried about the next 5 years. You know, I mean, look how fast New England has rebuilt. They lost Belichick and Brady. Couple down years, they might be the number one team in the AFC this year. Why can't we just accept a couple years of, we can accept this mediocrity. Just go all the way with it. Win five games, get a higher draft pick, which is a whole other problem because they stink at drafting. But, you know, it just seems like every year, Russell Wilson, we're going to fix it for this year. Well, how'd that work out? Mitchell Trubisky, we're going to fix it for that year. How'd that work
out? Yeah, and I agree with you, Tony, and I appreciate the call. And it takes me back to what Jim Rooney said about the mean.
You know, Jim speaks for himself, and I'm happy that he's doing good selling his book.
Well, that's what Art said after Jim said this.
They'll burn the city down if we go 3-13 for, you know, 3 years in a row. But that's generally how you get one of those top guys. I mean, occasionally you get lucky and occasionally you make the right trade decision. But there's more examples of not getting lucky and not making the right trade than there are other. Again, I don't want to be making excuses, but it's an interesting dilemma. And I would rather have Art and Mike and Omar, the guys in charge, trying to solve it, and the opposite.
That was in January. And no, Jim, I would not rather have Mike Tomlin try to solve it, because he's tried to solve it for the last 8-9 years. And look, I said after they won against Detroit that that was pretty much the tipping point for me in believing if they were a true contender or not. But did anybody truly expect to slip up in Cleveland this bad, where the offense scores 6 points? The defense played well in the second half. Yeah, you'd expect them to. Against a team that, I don't know, has a running back that came off the practice squad, a quarterback that nobody picked until the fifth round that told Philadelphia and told Baltimore, no, I don't want to be your backup. I'd rather go to Cleveland. Like, that's your mentality? That had a linebacker in Schlesinger that's very good, but seemed like he was playing at half speed because he was banged up in the game. And that is what you want?
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Here is Garrett in Dallas. What's up, Garrett?
Yeah, man. I just can't stand emotional Steeler fans, man. You know, we could get to the playoffs, and we could do very well if we could get to the playoffs. I'm not concerned about the last game.
What do you think?
I'm concerned
very
about
well,
the next couple of games.
In your mind, what is very well, Garrett? Do very well in the playoffs.
We can win. We can get to the AFC Championship technically. And you guys sit up there and you make excuses for playing one bad game and the mismanagement of the game. Yes, they look bad. Yes, they didn't put together a good game plan. But there's nobody you should fear in the AFC. I look at Buffalo, right? In Buffalo, we had 10-7 at halftime. One, two, or three plays turned the game. Defense didn't give up any points to Buffalo. The offense gave up them points. I look at Houston. I don't fear them.
You don't fear their defense?
And I don't fear Drake May. Well, the defense, yes, but they're not. But we can put together a game plan with the way our defense is playing. You have to believe. Pittsburgh fans are so sorry. They get emotional. Fire Tomlin. We can be 10-7. No one thought we would do that. I knew we would do it. You know what I'm saying? And we're going up against a wounded Baltimore team. Let's rally the troops, support your team, and go get ready. Stop with this emotional fan crap.
So do you not? Do you not blame Mike Tomlin at all for that loss then, Garrett?
Actually, they got my name wrong. My name is Derek. I'm from
Derek.
I've been a Steeler fan forever. That's fine. He said that. I blame the whole team for the loss, but I actually blame the execution from Rodgers because the coach has put us in position to actually win the game. Rodgers didn't make the throws. That's what happened. The kicker missed the kick. So and when it's all said and done, it was the players that lost the game because the coach has put us in position to win the game. So, yes, I mean, it looked bad. Of course it looked bad. I want to win. And, of course, I'd rather be the Rams right now because they're actually in the playoffs. Now we have to go out here and show Baltimore and dominate them to get to the playoffs. And if we lose, yeah, it's going to look bad. But I can't stand this Fire Tomlin and do all this when he actually, the staff actually put us in position to win the game. The players didn't execute. You got to look at the game the way it's played.
Appreciate the call, Garrett. I mean, I think Mike Tomlin, I don't look at that game and think that Tomlin put them in a position to win. Sure, his defense gave them opportunities for the offense to be able to come back. But there were some decisions. Mike Tomlin can check and make some decisions for Aaron Rodgers before the play is called based on what he wants. Where Aaron can obviously decide at the line of scrimmage to change it at the last moment, and Tomlin has given him that creative freedom to do that. But fourth and one, go ball to Scotty Miller. A lot of that has to fall on Artie. But yes, a lot of it does fall on Rodgers because it is his decision on where he is going to throw the ball. But it's Tomlin's game plan coming into that game. They played scared. They played not to lose. They played not to turn the ball over. And the weather wasn't a factor in the second half. You can't blame the weather in the second half. Pony and Muller were there. They said it wasn't even raining. Here is Joe. He's in Hermitage. What's up, Joe?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Well, so many things to start. I guess I'll start with your question on what do I want to see happen Sunday? I want to see us get decimated. I want to see us lose big, and here's the reason why. Nothing is going to change until mediocre Mike takes a hike. Everybody says, oh, Aaron Rodgers is here. This is here. It doesn't matter. As long as that man's in charge, nothing's going to change. You could have an all-pro lineup offensively, the best receivers, the best quarterback, and we'd still be in the same boat. That's all I got.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. Where, look, it's Tomlin's team, it's Tomlin's creation. There's so much of an argument that I think is a fair one that I think has some holes in it this year regarding Arthur Smith and the offense. Arthur Smith was in his bag against the Detroit Lions. Tosses to Jonnu Smith. Creative plays. Plays where you go, oh, that was a nice call there for Marty. That was well designed. That made sense. against Cleveland, there was a bunch of, that's your call? That makes no sense. Pitch to Gainwell, third and four, far side hash, fourth and one, Scotty Miller go ball. On the second to last drive of the game, you don't run it at all. With three timeouts, you're at the 20. You give Cleveland a free field goal where you have to go down the field and score a touchdown instead of either punting the ball away, using up your timeouts for an offense that, I don't know, is so lifeless they weren't going to move the ball at all. Could have played field position. There were a lot of coaching elements and coaching components of this game where they failed. I'm sure Paul in Washington agrees. Hi, Paul.
How you doing there, City Limits?
Oh, Paul, I'm better because I'm talking to you.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, but you know where I stand. I gave you a prediction a while ago that they were going to go 5-12. How they got to 9 and whatever everybody thinks they're going to be is beyond me. But I'm just going to say the magic number is 20. If Derrick Henry carries the ball 20 times, it's lights out, the party's over, the fat lady's going to sing, the game is going to be a blowout. I mean, we all know what the problem is. The problem is Art doesn't have the stones to do what needs to be done. Mike can't evaluate talent. He can't assemble a decent coaching staff. And the Steelers are never going to win ever again in my lifetime until they get rid of the current regime. And that means everybody. Omar, the other guy that's a half a GM.
Andy Weidel.
The whole caboodle. Get rid of everybody and make a call to a couple of Baldwin guys. Ask Dave Wannstedt if maybe he'll come in and oversee the coaching search. And then maybe start with Bobby Slowick's kid and let him be an OC. I mean, he's an innovative offensive mind. We need somebody that can take chances, isn't afraid to, you know, lay the ball on the ground and do something different. I don't know what more to say, City Limits. I mean, we got a bunch of old people on defense. Joey Porter's a bust. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, Slade.
Hold on, Paul. Joey Porter is actually having a very good year this year. He's not a bust. He's been
Joey
playing
Porter
very well.
Having a good. Wait a minute, City Limits. You can't have it both ways. The other day, did you see that so-called tackle he tried to make? He can't tackle.
Well, I don't think that anybody's disputing that Joey Porter isn't the best tackler in the world, but he's had a really good season as a cover corner, Paul.
Well,
you got to admit that.
That's pretty sad that if you can treat the receiver like that's your first date, you got your hands all over, and you call that good, we need a Mel Blunt type. We need to go back to Steelers football. Punch them in the mouth. Take no names. When they see Pittsburgh's on the schedule, they're shaking in their boots. Let's go back to old school Steelers football. I rest my case. Have a happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year, Paul. I got to push back on the Joey Porter Jr. thing. How did Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams do against the Steelers? Not well. How did Jerry Jeudy do, other than the first couple of drives, against the Steelers? Didn't play great. How did Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman, whoever Joey Porter Jr. was covering in that game against Baltimore, play? Not ideal. How about Jaylen Waddle? Yeah, Joey Porter Jr. has actually been very good in the second half of this season. He has been a shining light in the darkness that has been, at times, the Steelers' defense that has played considerably better in the last month and a half. They have unleashed some hell in December. They've actually been a solid unit that has played up to snuff. And we saw it in the wins. And they did enough for the Steelers to win this game against Cleveland. But for Mike Tomlin to come out and say, oh, I don't think that we played poorly in this game. I think that ultimately wasn't our best performance, but no, we didn't play poorly. That's just him speaking on his defense and not even categorizing his offense.
I didn't think we played poorly. We just didn't make enough plays. I thought they played well. I thought the game was kind of unfolding in the way that you would anticipate, but we never made that signature play that kind of got us over the hump. That generally is the deciding factor in games like this, and we generally make them. We didn't make them today.
We didn't play poorly. Mainly, yeah, my defense didn't play poorly. They did enough to give the offense a chance. The offense just didn't make plays. Mike, you scored 6 points. against the Browns offense, against the Browns defense that really isn't that good. And your defense did not capitalize, your offense did, after the interception from Kyle Duggar. Immediately punted the ball. You might as well just punted it on first down. That's how quick that drive ended. Immediately, same thing. Jack Sawyer returns it back. You get nothing. Sure, those plays need to be turned into touchdowns, scoring drives, points off turnovers. But again, coaching, quarterback, and the way that this team has been built failed them against Cleveland. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's just one bump in the road. But it's the final bump before what is a win-and-get-in playoff game. This is a playoff game on Sunday. And the whole world is going to see it. And the whole world, whether it be, it was on Prime, but the whole world saw it when last year Derrick Henry ran all over your ass for 299 yards, dominated and pushed you around, and that same guy, the same beast that ran the ball 36 times, a season high, for 216 yards and four touchdowns against Green Bay, a good defense, is ready to hunt you down. Paul made a comment about when Derrick Henry touches the ball 20 times. I'm going to show you and tell you what happens when Derrick Henry touches the ball 18 times. First game of the year against Buffalo, 18 carries, 169 yards, two touchdowns. Yes, I know he had the fumble. 24 carries against the Rams, 122 yards. 21 carries against Chicago, just 71. 19 carries against Miami, 119 yards. 20 carries against Minnesota, 75 yards. 18 against Cleveland, 103 yards. 21 against the Jim. More concerned about what are you doing for me lately? Against Cincinnati, 11 carries, 100 yards. He averaged 9 yards per carry. New England, 18 carries, 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. And against Green Bay, 36 carries, 216 yards, 4 touchdowns, and averaged 6 yards per rush. Derrick Henry right now is averaging 7 yards per carry in his last 3 games. 7 yards per carry. He's run for 400 yards over the last 3. Well over that. So, you want to talk about not playing poorly? Try to stop that guy while your offense is trying to put it together against a Ravens secondary that Rob Long told us yesterday is really not that good, where Marlon Humphrey is a shade of himself and Wiggins isn't very good. Kyle Hamilton's playing too much around the line of scrimmage. Two teams that have met at the same midpoint at the very end of the season. They're in the same spot. Two veteran coaches, the two longest tenure coaches in the NFL, and Tomlin and John Harbaugh, that have found a fork in the road. What path are you going to take? Is it win or go be on TV next year? Probably not, because ownership loves their coaches and they're not willing to make changes. But if there was anything as well that I learned from the Chicago-San Francisco game that you probably should have learned as well, offensive coaching is winning. And look at what the Ravens offense is doing with John Harbaugh overseeing it, and what the Steelers offense was in this game against Cleveland with Mike Tomlin overseeing it. And I rest my case. You were on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Be careful out there. The temperatures are in the mid-20s, and it's also snowing. The feels-like temperature is cold. Right now in Pittsburgh, it is currently 2 degrees, as the feels like, with the temperature at 22. I don't know why they don't just move the temperature down to right around 2, if that's what it feels like. But it feels like 2 degrees, so be careful out there. Nick Faribault will join the show next as we get ready for the Mike Tomlin press conference at the top of the noon hour. Nick Faribault of Penn Live joins next. Austin Bechtold in for Pomp and Joe. It is Pomp and Joe on a Tuesday.
Logan Arblaster with your Fan headlines. The Penguins are back on the ice tonight at PPG Paints Arena. Carolina Hurricanes, Penguins, puck drop is at 7 p.m. And the AFC North title is on the line on Sunday Night Football. The Steelers host the Ravens at Acrisure Stadium. It's the first time in the 272-game all-time series between the rivals that the regular season finale will decide the division winner. Kickoff on Sunday night is at 8:25. Headlines are powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. More at 93.7thefan.com.
At 64 yards.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.